Thank you, Steve, for that wonderful message and song. This morning, we're looking into Matthew chapter 21. This is a message concerning Jesus' triumph entry into Jerusalem. And the scripture reading will be from chapter 21 and 1 through 11 this morning. So, if you have your Bibles or you look on the screen, you can follow along with me as I read. Beginning with verse 1. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent his two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you just say, 'The Lord has a need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And the prophet is Zechariah, saying, "To the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." And if you wonder what a beast of burden is and what that is pertaining to a donkey who is carrying a heavy load for the purpose of helping those, the owner, to get a load from one place to the other or as he traveled. As Jesus took the burden from us on because of the sins of the world. So that is a burden that Jesus carried for each one of us. Now, verse 6. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed. Now, shouldn't we do that? Whatever Jesus instructs us to do, we should do it wholeheartedly and with a glad heart because of what he did for us. Okay, verse 7. And brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on their coats. Most of the crowds spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this? Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "Who knew from the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee?" A lot of those knew who he was. They'd heard about him. They'd seen his teachings. They'd heard him in the synagogues teaching his healing and ministering to the people. Those who experienced that knew who he was, but others did not. So, as we look this morning at the scripture, we want to look at the triumph entry of Jesus, and it occurred on Sunday of the Passion Week. So Jesus, the Passover Lamb, that's what he was, heads into Jerusalem for the last time. It'd be the last time that Jesus would go into Jerusalem, where he initiates a massive public display as he offers himself as the King of Israel. He is the King. He's the King of Kings. And he was offering himself to them. So here Jesus sets in motion a huge crusade. And people heard about it, and they was gathering to witness it. So why did this happen? Why did Jesus do this? And this probably was so that the Jews would never have to say, if we had only had the opportunity to embrace you as our king, we certainly would have done so. Well, they did have all sorts of opportunities to do that. We have all sorts of opportunities ourselves to embrace the things of Jesus. And to embrace the Word of God, embrace the Holy Spirit, embrace His presence, and allow Him to embrace us. And when we do that, you know, people will know that we've been with Him, been with the Lord. So, as we look at this passage, these passages emphasize that Jesus is the King of the glory. The King comes in peace. And that's what verses 1 through 5 is demonstrating or telling us here this morning in the Scriptures, that Jesus was coming on peace. That's when He came riding on a donkey of a colt. So, this event is the inauguration, I would call ceremony, of the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. Amen. So, Jesus, as the Scripture says, He comes in peace, verses 1 through 5. So Matthew's account of the triumph entry begins with Jesus sending His two disciples. So in verse 1 again, I won't read that, but you can read it. If, as I emphasize on this particular verse, Jesus and His disciples came to Bethpage, and which is the house of figs. That's what Bethpage means, house of figs. From the east, as they came up the road from Jericho. So the town is on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. I would hope that you could visualize that, and if you look on the screen, that is a picture of the Mount of Olives coming through Bethpage and so forth. And a 2.5 mile long ridge laying in 2 miles directly east of Jerusalem. So when one comes from the east to the top of the Mount of Olives, the scenery, the beautiful scenery of Jerusalem just across Kidron Valley, if you've ever seen a picture of the Kidron Valley as it's down lower and on the plain of the Mount of Olives, and for coming, going to Jerusalem from Jericho, the Kidron Valley to the west, it's magnificent. Now, you say, how do you know, Pastor Mike? Have you been there? No, but as I read the Scriptures, and as I've seen pictures and talked to people who've been there, they say it is magnificent. Beautiful, inspiring, very touching, very moving, as Jesus Himself made that approach from Jericho into Jerusalem on this particular Passion Week. So it's just set you aside to understand how the Scriptures really interpret the things and events that take place. So Jesus sent His two disciples ahead to make preparation for His prophetic entry into Jerusalem in verse 2 and 3. And in verse 2 and 3, these are the words of Jesus as He spoke them. And I want to read those to you this morning. Verse 2 says, Jesus saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has a need of them, and immediately He will send them. So, as if there were any question at all to what the future apostles were doing, they were to reference that it was of the Lord or for the Lord. Now, many speculate that this was a follower or a disciple of Jesus, and where he learned it, or it appeared in a dream, or Jesus made some kind of communication, or he instilled that through the power of the Holy Spirit for him to know that two disciples were coming, he would know. So it was divine in whatever aspect as you look at it, and it happened as the scripture said. So Matthew announces this in verses 4 and 5. So it's clear that our Lord arranged to ride the donkey into Jerusalem as an international fulfillment of prophecy. So the prophecy, Red Peter mentioned verse 5, it represents, it's a reference to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And the prophecy refers to foretold of Israel's king as a gentle, now, as you see on the screen, not a furious warrior, but mainly riding on a colt, the foal, and the literal means son of a donkey, okay? So, a donkey colt would be simply the humility and peace, not coming to conquer by imposing his will over the nations. Jesus was coming in peace. And when we see a horse or read in Revelations about the horses and the white and the black horses and the riding, they're coming in judgment. Most of the time when we read about horses and things and chariots and so forth. But Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey as it was prophesied. Now, Jesus is acclaimed by the people in verses 6 through 8. 6 and 8, note the obedience on the part of all the disciples that was involved in this preparation. So, this week we make preparation as we go through the Holy Week. You know, I hope that you will spend time in the Word and reading the Scriptures, all the four Gospels, or even back in Isaiah talks about the coming of the Lord, the Messiah, Yahweh, Zechariah, even Daniel, even Ezekiel, Micah. So all of these Scriptures talk about from the Old Testament, the prophecy of the Messiah coming, and it is revealed right here in the four Gospels. I tell you what, it just excites me when I read this and study it and know all the events that took place and that it happened exactly the way the Bible tells it. Because the Holy Spirit testifies and lets us know that our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is real, and it will sustain us in our world today. And we are to remember, the Bible says, these events, because Jesus was the most important thing that ever happened in the history of the world, or even in the prophetic ministry that the Bible proclaims. It's important that everyone that hears the Word of God understands that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's Jesus came to offer salvation to every one of us. He came to offer salvation to the whole world. And that's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." So, this is a reality for each one of us to be able to comprehend. Now, in verse 6, 7, I won't read those, but when you look at the scriptures and what it's saying, let us add that this spreading of the palm branches 5 days before God, or before the Good Friday service, or the Good Friday celebration, even 7 days before the resurrection is where we observe our celebration of the Palm Sunday. Let me say that again. The spreading of the palm branches 5 days before the Good Friday, and even 7 days before the resurrection is where we observe the celebration of Palm Sunday. And a reference to that is in John chapter 12, verse 13. So, many were anticipating that Jesus was coming to set up or reign in Israel, the capital. And we need to realize that Jesus came to die for our sins and pay the price of our iniquity. That's why he came. That's why he came in the flesh. God, Jesus, divine. Now, if you, or if he never does anything else in this present life, now I want you to hear me there. If he does nothing else in this present life, his forgiveness is more than enough to merit our loyalty, our affections, our eternal devotion to him. If he does nothing else, right? I believe that. If he never does another thing for me, if he never gives another blessing to me on this earth, and I owe him my life because of what he did on Calvary for me. And I mean that with all of my heart. I really do. And you can say the same thing, because the passion of Christ is so deep, far beyond our comprehension of the love, the agape love that he had for the world, for you and me. If he does nothing else in this present world, him going to Calvary and dying for my sins is enough.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, let's, well, I want to us to look at the Greek word easy. And you find it in Matthew 11, 29. The Greek word easy appears only once in the New Testament, and then in connection with yoke. He took our burden, the beast of the burden. He took that load, and he carried the sins of the world on his shoulders. Now, our point this morning, Jesus is crowned with praise. And that's what we should be doing. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're praising God for what he has done for us, for who he is. He's so divine, holy, and righteous in all ways. And the next occurrence in verse 9 indicates the openness of the crowds led by the disciples to Jesus. Now, that's in verse 9. So, as the people walked along behind Jesus, they were probably singing some of the pilgrim psalms in the Old Testament psalms. And Matthew noted that they included children in verse 15. If you read ahead in verse 15, repeating the song of Psalms 118, verses 25 and 26. That's what they were singing. Supposedly, as those who have studied and have analyzed and looked at the interpretation of this, they were probably singing Psalms 118, 25, and verse 26. And they shouted, "Hosanna, the Son of David," to Jesus, and to others. And then Hosanna is from the Greek word Hosanna, and it's save, deliver, or deliver us, we pray. So it's a prayer. It's a praise, and it's a prayer. It's a devotion of sharing from the heart the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it's an acknowledgement of the power as well as a petition. You know, a petition or supplication is when we pray and lift up our prayers to the Lord. But here we see a praise, outgoing of the praise from the heart of who Jesus is as he entered into Jerusalem. It's a prayer for deliverance, probably from the Romans instead of their slavery in sin at that time, because they were in slavery in sin many to the Romans. So, and then we see Hosanna in the highest. And this is a reference to the one whom angels on high acknowledge or they call upon, as the scripture tells us. They are asking that heaven joins in the praising of God for sending Jesus to be the Messiah. And all of these designation references that Jesus is Yahweh representation, his Messiah of Christ. That was the praise. So in verse 10, it indicates the suspensive atmosphere, I would call it, and the expectation that this processional call throughout Jerusalem, when they said, when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred and saying, who is this? Who is this? And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, his coming shook the city mentally and morally as an earthquake might shake a city physically. And I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake. I've felt tremors before and so forth. I hope none of us ever experienced an earthquake. But this is what they felt. This was because of the excitement, it was like an earthquake happening in their time. So in verse 11, it records the popular opinion of Jesus at that momentous moment. And it says, and the crowds were saying, this is a prophet Jesus from Nazareth into Galilee. So, we should expect to find such contrast right here in the life of the one who was fully God and fully man. Jesus, the sovereign Lord of the universe, became man to provide the redemption. Well, let me make it more personal. Our redemption. That's what he did. But one day he will return, as the Bible says, the King of Kings. And one of these days, every knee will bow and everyone will confess that he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The Bible says everyone who has rejected him throughout generations and throughout centuries will bow down, even high kings, anarchies, nations, when they see Jesus, as they did in the Old Testament, as some of the most horrendous kings in the Old Testament, like Nebuchadnezzar that we studied a couple Wednesdays ago, even bowed down to the King of Kings because Daniel was faithful and his three companions were faithful, and he realized, along with the governors and other people of the hierarchy, recognized that God was different because they saw it through Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So this morning, As we close, Jesus finally approached the ultimate destination of his trip from Galilee, the city where he had predicted again and again that he would be crucified. He was telling the disciples all along and those close to him that he was going there to be crucified. Chapter 16, chapter 19, chapter 20 of Matthew, Mark 11, Luke 19, and John 12. All these four Gospels makes this prediction, this prophetic prediction that it was going to occur and happen this way. Because they witnessed it, and that's what they wrote. That's what they were inspired to write. Exactly what we're reading today and studying. So it makes you wonder how many of those who enthusiastically cried, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" It makes you wonder. On Palm Sunday, where they were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," on Friday. Some of them saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of Kings." And then some on Friday, "Crucify him, crucify him." Just a few days later. And some people must have been disappointed, even resentful, that Christ didn't overthrow Romans and set up an earthly kingdom. Because many of them was always saying, "When will the new kingdom come? When are you going to set up the new kingdom?" And Jesus would often say, "It is not time for you that to be revealed to you." But Jesus is setting up his kingdom. He's setting it up right now as we speak. The kingdom is coming. And the key to his kingdom was not revolution, but repentance. It wasn't a revolution, but repentance. He wasn't coming as a warrior, but that all men may be saved. A turning from following the world and the devil to following Jesus, the true Messiah. So, if we follow Christ solely because we think he'll shield us from this life's hardships, heal our sickness, or guarantee prosperity, we are headed for disappointments, right? If we think that. But if we renounce sin, if we will renounce our sin, if the world will renounce their sin, take up the cross and live for him, live for Jesus, because he is our Lord, our Creator, he's our Redeemer, we will never be disappointed in him, right? We never will. And upon that, may God, blessings of the Lord be with you always on Palm Sunday. And may we ponder and we think about this, what God has done through Jesus Christ on our behalf. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your message. I'm only the deliverer, the messenger. But Lord, your word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, rightly dividing asunder. Lord, I pray and I thank you, Lord, for the moving of your Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. And when that Holy Spirit did move in our lives and reveal to us that we were sinners, we come short of your glory, that you reached down and you removed that sin when we said, "Forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died for my sins. Will you forgive me?" At that moment, we became a child of God. And Lord, anyone listening today, whether here or by the way of Facebook or YouTube that don't know you personally on this Palm Sunday, they can by trusting you. We must repent, the Bible says. We can confess, yeah, I've done wrong, but we have to repent, show remorse for the sin in our lives. And when we are forgiven, past, present, future, we become a child of God. We'll belong to you. You have ownership of our life. And we pray that our life will be committed and motivated in ways to allow you to live through our lives daily. Not giving any thoughts to temptations, but living for you. If you haven't, if you don't do anything else in our present generation in this day, going to the cross, dying on Calvary, was our redemption. Lord, thank you for each one here. We pray for your, we thank you for your presence, and we pray whatever decisions are made today, Lord, it's because your Holy Spirit illuminated each one of our hearts to make a decision in your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.